Hey everybody, this is Patrick, the Chief Monkey and founder of Wall Street Oasis. Just wanted to first off say thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Second, wanted to make sure for any of you in the market for financial modeling training, remind you that Wall Street Oasis does have some incredible financial modeling training courses, including Excel modeling, financial statement through, you know, linking up the three statements, DCF, valuation, M&A, LBO, even more niche courses like 13-week cash flow, venture capital course, real estate modeling, you name it. Go ahead and check them out at wallstreetoasis.com/courses. Thanks for the support. Welcome to the WSO Weekly Wrap-Up, where I talk with my team about the five most trending discussions in the Wall Street Oasis community. Enjoy.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Weekly Wrap-Up. It is June 1st, 2023. This week, we're just talking about a couple fun threads in the forums over the last week or two. Matt, go ahead, kick it off.
Sure. Got two funny ones here for the audience this week. Start off with the first one here. First trending topic was lying about hours worked. We had one member of the forums pounding the table here saying that he's been mentioning this a few times now and asking the community, can we please as a whole stop lying about our hours worked? So let's kind of get your thoughts on this. You know, obviously investment banking is known for, is notorious for having long hours, but is there really like all truth to it? People throw around numbers upwards of 100 hours per week. Is that something that's the norm? So Pat, we'll kick it off with you. What are your thoughts about people lying about their hours work, specifically in investment banking?
I definitely think there's some inflation going on in terms of people like artificially inflating their numbers. But part of it is you may be in the office for 90 hours in a week, but typically you're working about 70 of those because you're waiting for turns. You're kind of messing around in the bullpen, going to lunch, going to coffee when there's downtime. So it's rare that you're working 90, 100 hour weeks where you literally aren't like getting up and stuff like that. So
I think Pat, you hit it, like hit the nail right on the head there in terms of like, I think people factor in what they consider downtime as actual working time. So people get that confused. And I've had this thought many times. I say to myself, you know, if I'm sitting here and I put in, let's just say a 10 hour day, I think it's foolish to think for 10 hours, every single minute there, you're pounding the keyboard and moving that mouse and just going nuts. I think that's unrealistic. Times I'll say, well, I pulled a full 10 hour day. I think it's not realistic of that, but I think that's probably what's happening a lot in investment banking. There's no way you're doing 12 hours, 10 hours a day, every single day and have like workflow. Where
you it does happen. It does.
I think it's probably cyclical. It's not going to be the norm, right? Yeah. And when I say cyclical, I mean like deals on the desk. It's just a busy time. Yes, you will have your hours peak up, but I think people have this expectation or this thought that every week is going to be 100 hours per week and you're just kind of getting grind to the bone. I haven't at least seen that. I haven't heard of that actually occurring at least week in, week out for a full year. Nabil, have you seen that? What are your thoughts on
nah, I don't think so. It's just like few weeks when there's live deals and stuff, you're probably gonna have like huge hours, but like other than that, but then people like to exaggerate too, so
yeah,
they'll just say, I've been working 100 hour weeks for like so long and all that, but then in reality it's like, yeah, a few weeks you have to put in those hours, but the others, either you're there, you're not doing work, like Pat said. Not work as much.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. Like when I was working at Rothschild in the restructuring group, pretty sweaty group back in 2002 to 2004, which is really busy time for restructuring. So we had
naturally
we had a ton of live deals. I worked with an MD who was a workhorse, did really well for the firm, but he would be up to like 3-4 in the morning turning comments and like expecting you to be there. So with him,
didn't you mention, Pat, you slept under the desk a few times?
I had to turn the phone up and then I would actually go sleep on a couch and put my head down for an hour and just like try to keep the phone really loud so it would wake me up and run over to the phone. But that was like, I think my longest day was like a 41 hour day, so it was like two all-nighters in a row, and this is over 2 years, and then I did, but on a hand, just a handful of times, like 30 plus hour days. So like those were the worst times in his live deals. Like we had to turn something, get something out. But you know, the six days a week, you know, on the weekends working, you know, 8 hours per day was pretty normal. So you could pretty easily hit 80 hours, at least in the office, 80 hours. And then you know you're kind of delusional. You're not that fast either when you start like getting sleep deprived. So
yeah,
that's the other thing, is like it adds to it. So I think there are some groups out there where kids are actually in the office for 90 plus hours, over 90 to 100 hours a week, like for
five weeks straight, but again, office, like, it's office time though, right? I think that's the main difference. Yeah. Like I have my friend, he's a banker, he'll spend time, but I'll get, you know, messages or pictures from him, Snapchats, and they're just all chilling in the bullpen doing nothing. It's like 4 o'clock, like markets close, it's 4:30 and they're still at the office. They have to hang there for a bit, but yeah. I know they're all screwing around. They got a beer or two on their desk. Like they're just all relaxed, hanging out. I
think now more than 2020, 2021, when deal flow was like insane. People are actually like doing shit. And like, it was actually insane. Like they literally were just working. Like there was no downtime versus now, like when deal flow is slower and banks have had a lot of layoffs. Like on the show, we've mentioned plenty of layoffs, but there tends to be, you know, when it's pitching, there's a little bit less urgency and that stuff. So and
there's one comment on this thread specifically that I liked, and I think it kind of summarizes it perfectly. There's all, at the end of the day, there's just gonna be some people that like to brag and inflate the number of hours, and they treat it like a badge of honor. And I think that's just something so specific to like investment banking, even just high finance roles, where people are proud to say, oh, I worked 90 hours this week. And we all have like a smile on our face, like it's this badge. But I think if you just like take a 5,000 foot approach to that, it's like, well, why are you so happy you just worked like 90 hours? Like, yes, okay, you're getting paid well. And
I think it's because it's like, oh, look how strong
the prestige. I think it's just
it's like, look how tough I am. I can do this. You guys are all like, it almost makes people feel like they're going through a boot camp of some sort, and like, look, I can handle it and I'm so tough. And so a little bit of that, I think there's been a lot of people asking, like, please, can we kill that part of the culture? Because it leads to kids that go through that and puff their chests out because the hours end up becoming associates and VPs and MDs that do that to the analysts.
Yes,
and that's why there's attrition problems in the industry.
Yes, exactly. All right, or I guess on that point there, and I don't want to spend too much time on this topic, but to that point there, where it's, if they just, there's some people that just because they had to put in the time at the junior ranks, maybe they had a really poor manager, poor VP, or it's just because they had to go through it, they're going to make someone else go through it now. Realizing, well, you know what? Okay, I had it bad. It's not fair that I had it bad. But that's the toxicity that exists, where it's like, if that happened to one person, well, it's like, well, now I got to make sure this happens to someone else because I went through it. And that's I agree that has to hopefully stop. And to the point there, I think I brought this up to you, Pat, when we had a call with an individual earlier this week. There's this like preconceived notion on the industry that could be a toxic at times. And I think it's to that point there where, again, it's just something where people experience it in the analyst associate days. When they become a VP and MD, they're going to just pass that on.
They're not gonna be able to hang on to their Gen Z. They're not gonna deal with it. People are talking about quitting on the forums. You saw one guy, he's like, I'm quitting after one day. I don't know if it was a joke, but
or even like a half day, wasn't there something like that? Like he spent a few hours in office and was just like, I'm out of here.
People are like, oh, you're setting up your computer too stressful and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, exactly. But anyways, guys, that was a great topic there. Let's move on to the next one here for the sake of timing. This next one, I'm actually, I got a couple of chuckles reading this one here, and it's perfect timing given that it's intern season. I've been seeing a lot of the FinMeme accounts out there starting to post about intern season, and all the funny jokes about interns wearing different outfits or just the way they operate being in office. So this thread here is all about what drinks to order during happy hour as an intern. So Nabil, we'll kick it off with you. Going to a happy hour, well, what are your thoughts? This is, you know, should people be keeping it under control in terms of just the drinks they're ordering?
I'd say just order some beers, hang out, chill. But then I mean, up to you. Sometimes you want to just get smashed, so
yeah I think you gotta be on the happy hours. Definitely think you gotta be careful with it on the over drink. I think that was some of the themes that people were mentioning, was some people are saying, you know, your drink of choice is going to make an impact, or in terms of how people look at you or think about you in a separate way. But then inversely, there's also a fair amount of people that are just suggesting drink whatever, just don't overdrink, like keep it under control. Definitely try to keep things in check, because you're going to have some eyes on you. And the last thing you want is to make a joke of yourself. But
there's been tons of stories of people losing potential offers and stuff like this because they just go overboard and start saying ridiculous stuff and thinking they're smoother than they are. If you're a person who has one, then you know, maybe has two or three, thinking it's not a big deal, you maybe want to just drink a club soda.
Yeah,
keep it.
Yeah.
Definitely chose.
And wait till after hours once you're out with your buddies or friends.
Yeah, exactly. That's what would be my suggestion. And there were some funny comments here. People saying, you know, like, don't order like a Long Island iced tea, or, you know, don't order a vodka Red Bull. And you know what? I agree with that. Be honest, like, you might be rubbing shoulders at the bar with like an MD, an older individual. It's just as dumb as this may sound, there's probably just gonna be like that preconceived notion of, oh, this person is so childish, like, you know, a Long Island iced tea or a vodka Red Bull. It's like, just get a normal drink, or to your point, Pat, just get a club soda and just hang out. You're not trying to attend.
What would be a normal drink, would you say? Like,
I would do just like a vodka soda. Keep it simple, vodka soda.
Vodka club, vodka tonic, like that.
Yeah.
Not like you're not gonna have like stinky breath, like whiskey breath or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Or go to a happy hour and start ordering shots. That's like another no-no to do. Again, like, save that
tequila.
I think the main takeaway here is, for interns, don't get too caught up in hearing about a happy hour and drinks and thinking it's a time to let loose. Definitely still treat this as like a networking or like a professional event. Times to get loose and have fun. Save it to your friends late at night. Meet up with them for drinks 9-10 o'clock at night. That's when you dive into the shots. Definitely not at happy hours with your firm.
It doesn't mean that you should be like talking about work while you're there. Like, try to keep it more casual, the topics of conversation. So when we say networking, it's not like, hey, let's talk about interview questions and like, okay, who's offering what and pay and all this stuff. Like, try to keep it more casual. Talk about your interests. Talk about more
sports, hobbies, whatever's going on. Just in terms of the networking aspect, that referring to like the professional tone of it, like, meaning you're not going to act like a lunatic. People are always going to have an eye on you. If they're not zoning in on you, it's just still they know what's going on. They're seeing things or hearing things. So it's just about keeping that professional tone at all times.
And just know your limit. If like you're a mess after one drink, don't do it. Especially if you're on an empty stomach, you're going to the happy hour, you haven't eaten anything. Be careful. If you can put down 10 drinks, then yeah, sure, have one or two, you know.
And one thing I just thought of, and this is an interesting thought, I think, is where it's like, as an intern, you may think, yeah, I got to present myself in a respectful manner to senior people at the happy hour, but don't let your guard down as well. If you're like in a group of interns, there's like 10 or 12 people, and you think, you know, all just amongst the interns, we could talk about certain things or drink certain things.
Yeah.
Still, don't let your guard down. Like, at the end of the day, investment banking, the industry is a competitive industry, right? There's only so many seats that a firm's hiring. There's only so many return offers that they're going to be able to provide. Then even just as you do progress in the career, there's naturally going to be less and less seats available. So it is a very competitive industry. And what I'm trying to get at is, like, definitely don't let your guard down thinking, oh, if it's just the interns left here at the happy hour, I could maybe, you know, we could do some shots. It's just us.
Or you could say something inappropriate that rubs someone the wrong way.
It's competitive, and that will get back to you. We've seen it kind of play out. Yeah. Or just, again, it's a very competitive industry. And so it's just, again, you do want to just make sure when it's with that work, just try to keep that professional tone, especially with the happy hours, because that's where things could definitely get a little bit out of control, or at least we've seen things get a little bit out of control, and I've heard some unfortunate stories as a result.
You know where you can actually let loose is the WSO happy hours that we host around the those are pretty safe, because it's people outside your job and outside your colleague at other banks and stuff like that. So and other college kids trying to network. So it's a good place to, if you did get bombed there, it wouldn't be the end of the world.
But here, Pat, we'll leave the call on this. I don't know, I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit. What was your favorite happy hour spot in the city in New York when you were working there? If you could remember a spot, I might be putting you on the...
Yeah, well, we I know for WSO, we've been doing like Fifth and Mad for a long time. It's just like...
What about your Rothschild days?
Blue and Gold is a good one. Like Lori's, it's like, again, a dive bar, really casual, but more like be for people like after... I know like Murray Hill has a bunch of like the banker dive bars, but it's a little bit more of a scene.
it's right on.
More of a scene, not as much of a like place you'd go with colleagues or whatever to chill and have a conversation. So
All righty. Well, we'll keep this one short and sweet. I think these are some funny topics. Great for the intern season that's rolling around right now. So we'll be back next week, guys, with some more interesting trending topics from the forums.
Yeah, maybe some intern tips to help you guys survive. Talk soon.
And thanks to you, my listeners at Wall Street Oasis. If you have any suggestions whatsoever, please don't hesitate to send them my way, Patrick@wallstreetoasis.com. Until next time.